final countdown.
Week away to election day, Ro.
David Axelrod, who is, I don't know, now, I don't know if you feel better. I need to know the answer to this. If you're in the middle of it and you had a week to go, or you're just now involved in the media cycle of it, as you are part-time here, and the other part, you got University of Chicago duties, things you got to do and other things. What's harder work here?
I'm just enjoying the great pageant of democracy till the Cubs come on. And, you know, I mean, that's the important thing. I can turn my full attention to this after tomorrow night, hopefully tomorrow night.
Right.
There's no pressure like the pressure that campaigns feel at this juncture, where you can't turn your mind off. You're thinking about it all the time. You know, the stimulation is overwhelming. You've got a, you know, knot in the pit of your stomach. And it's much more comfortable to be an observer where all you have to do is flap your jaws, you know.
Yeah, isn't that the easiest thing? Well, that's what I've been doing my whole life. It worked out.
I can't believe I came to it late.
Yeah, I know.
You're working hard for a while.
If I had only known, man, I would have gotten to it earlier.
I wanted to say one thing, David. I figured this out in fourth grade and just never stopped. It was very easy.
Yeah,
all right,
poor teachers.
Yeah, just ask them. Hey, all right, Hillary Clinton, obviously very, 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 very bad, horrible, terrible, terrible week. Now, do you think that Donald Trump, I mean, a week ago it was a foregone conclusion that Donald Trump was going to lose this thing. Mm-hmm. And Donald. Now a lot of people are adjusting their maps. Can Donald Trump, well, obviously Donald Trump can win this. How likely would you say it is?
Not very likely. I think that he still has to pull an inside straight to win. She just needs to win most of the Obama states. I mean, just to put this in perspective, if you take Mitt Romney's performance as a baseline, then Trump would have to hold all of the Romney states, plus add, you know, he could add Florida, he could add Ohio, he could add Iowa, and he could add, you know, Nevada, and he'd still be short. So he's got a, and this is why, by the way, you see him in Michigan and Wisconsin and New Mexico. He's traveling to states that are unlikely for him, trying to jostle something loose in hopes of piecing together a winning coalition in terms of the Electoral College. And it's late, and attitudes are set in most cases. So it's a, you know, if you were betting, you'd bet heavily on her, but that doesn't mean that it's a certainty.
Do you think the leaked emails are having any impact on those undecided voters, David? The people, and there's another dump today, and we're imagining there'll be more. Does this erode her lead as we get closer? Does that make more?
Well, I think the race has been tightening. I actually think it's been tightening more because we are there's some distance between the release of that Access Hollywood tape, and particularly there's some distance between the debates and now. The debates being provocative for Donald Trump. He misbehaved in the debates, and in the aftermath of the debate, he seems to be more disciplined now, reading off of teleprompters and following more of a script. And so you see Republicans coming home to him, and that's helped him. And that happened before this email story. I think the email story makes it, I think the gaudy projections of a couple of weeks ago that this could be an enormous electoral landslide and that she could win by 7-8 points, I think that is a thing of the past as a result of this story. I don't think it changes the basic structure of the race. I think she is still in a very strong position to win.
Washington Post ABC poll. Mm-hmm. This is the one. It's been very fluky the last couple of weeks. It was
absolutely
had it was an outlier. It's been an outlier the last 2 weeks. It had her up by 11 or 12 the week before. Mm-hmm. Now it has it as a 2-point race, and there's a number in there too. This is a number of likely voters who are going to vote on election day, not people who've early voted. Likely voters are going to vote on election day, and that does tend to favor Republicans more than it does Democrats for, you know, whatever reason mm-hmm. that happens to be. And it shows him up by 11 points in that number.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me say, I'm very, very dubious about public polls. You should be particularly dubious of a poll that goes from 12 to 1
right.
in a couple of weeks.
Right, in a week.
I think you have to average these polls together, and you get something roughly reflecting where we are. And, you know, the real clear politics average, I think, is somewhere around
two and a half point lead
for Hillary right now. I think that's realistic. It is true that Democrats tend to mount up leads in the early vote. Their voters tend to much greater numbers than Republicans to vote early.
Why is that? Is there a mechanic
for
that?
I think because they are they're young. Many of them are working and find it, you know, more convenient to vote earlier. The Republican vote tends to be an older vote. More and more habitual voters. I mean, that's why, for example, you have a third drop off from a presidential election to a general to a midterm election, and a lot of those voters, 60% or more, are Democrats. Democrats just tend to be more of the early vote and less of the habitual election day voter. So it's always been the case that Democrats need to mount up a lead going in. Whether he has an 11-point lead on voters who will actually vote on election day, I really doubt that. And the other thing that you need to look at is some of these battleground states versus other states. He may be rolling up some really big margins in some of these red states that ultimately are not all that meaningful because you can only win them once.
Right, because you're only taking whatever you're taking. Like Texas, right. For example, where there's going to be big numbers coming out of Texas.
Yeah, although what was shocking at the peak of Hillary's surge was that you saw polls in Texas that had the race at, you know, 3%. I don't think it's going to finish that way. Mm-hmm. And it may be that, you know, Arizona's become tougher. Arizona being a traditionally red state that now seemed deadlocked. I mean, some of those may slip away from her. But yeah, there are some states, you know, you look at some of these rural states, you look at some of these southern states, he's going to mount up some big, big margins there.
One of the big headlines today, David, is that Hillary Clinton's camp is spending in the blue states today as this race tightens. And even some states where it shows, the polls are showing she's got a nice lead. Virginia, Colorado, Michigan, New Mexico, places where she's making six-figure ad buys. What do you make of that?
Well, two things. One is I think she's smart because she understands that Trump needs to flip some of these states in order to make his math work. So she's trying to block any movement on his part in those states. Secondly, I think they probably have a lot of disposable cash at this point. They've saturated the battleground states, and they have the luxury of moving into these other states. Trump went up in Colorado. I think they went up to checkmate him there because they've had a lead throughout. They want to hold that lead. So, you know, I wouldn't read too much into this other than that the campaigns are both doing what they probably should be doing. Trump trying to flip some blue states, Hillary guarding against that.
I have this at 269, according to my new map. Uh-oh. And I'm just – so when you're thinking – when David Axelrod is thinking to himself, you know, guess what I'm going to do? Mm-hmm. On November 9th, I am going to tell CNN I'm taking a little vacation. Mm-hmm. I'll see you around Inauguration Day. Mm-hmm. I've got some things I have to do. Goodbye and hello, suntan lotion and hula dancers. And the reality is you're going to be working just as we all are all the way through the middle of December until somebody decides this.
Oh, God, I hope not.
I really... really hope you're wrong.
You really hate me for saying that, don't you? Hey,
I do think you're wrong about that. By the way, 269 to 269 presumes that Evan McMullen doesn't win the state of Utah,
right.
Which he very well may.
Well, then, but know? If he does, then it's
but
even
does,
lo-
it still
lower
has
number.
The same effect.
Yeah,
still has the same effect.
Exactly.
But I think she has a good chance to win North Carolina, which would be game, set, and match. Mm-hmm. I think he actually needs to win Pennsylvania, where she has a big lead. And I think she's probably going to win Florida at the end of the day, primarily on the strength of a very strong Hispanic vote. And there's been really, really strong early vote among Hispanics in Florida. I don't think they're going out to vote for Donald
Before
Trump.
Before we believe everything that David Axelrod says, mm-hmm. I'm going to ask him these two questions.
Okay.
And then we will, have certainty. We will. This is a prove up test right here.
Okay.
What will the final score of the Cubs game be tonight?
I'm saying 4-2 Cubs.
4-2 Cubs. All right. So mm-hmm. this is a double blind here. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then tomorrow night.
Well, that's a tougher one, man. We got to get to Kluber, and he has been almost unhittable for us. But I have to answer that question with my heart and not my head.
Okay.
And I'll say 3-2 Cubs.
3-2 Cubs.
I like the way that sounds.
Although Kluber, it coming back,
oh my
three
gosh.
Days rest, three, you know,
still,
over 9 days.
This is a couple of times. You know, the thing is, he only has to get into the fifth or sixth, and then they've got a pretty good bullpen. So I think what's imperative for the Cubs in both these games is that they get to these starters early and get a lead before they get into that bullpen. I don't want to have to rely on a late inning comeback to win these games. So Kyle Schwarber, a first inning home run, he's hitting number two in the lineup tonight, would be very well received over here at the Axelrod household.
Yes, I understand that. It would be over at the Kahn household too.
Yes, and the DeVlantis
too. I've been waiting 108 years for this, and I'm 109.
Really, that
this is a long time.
These games are lasting forever.
Yeah, it's true. Although, man, what a ride.
It's been a great ride.
I enjoyed this. I'm sorry. Whatever happens, I'm going to be sorry when it's over because it's been such a great journey. And I'll be looking on the calendar to mark when spring training begins.
You know, it's 3.5 months. Wait, no. Let's see. It's 3.5 months.
Well,
yeah.
Now it's a shorter period. First of all, it's basically three and a chance, some change.
Yes, I see what you're doing. You're doing the same thing I'm doing. Which is This is the shortest offseason in the history of the Chicago Cubs organization. So there you go. There you have it. All right, David Axelrod. Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. All right, guys. Always good to be with you.
All right. See you very much, sir. We'll talk to you next week. Let's hope. We're still here next week. How do we know?
So much to get through between now and then.